Sweet hour of prayer. Some of you realize what that song is saying because you've been there. And you've had those sweet hours of prayer. In the Bible tonight, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is where we'll be reading from. While you pray for us for a few minutes of time, that God will just take His Word and bless it. So I heard a preacher several years ago say it like this, that he would anoint these lips of clay, that I might be able to preach to you the word that He would have you to hear tonight, that it will lift you up and exhort you, give you all that you stand in need of. And in the past few years, I've been saying, for today, because we preached here a few weeks ago where He said that His benefits are renewed daily. If we can just make it through today, He's got a whole new bunch of benefits for us tomorrow if we'll just hold on. And today's not over with yet. He's still got more for us today if we'll just hold on to His hands. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is where we like to read from tonight. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, starting at verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." And in verse 8, "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And stop reading there with verse 8. You can be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. I'd like to use for a text from this 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, often referred to as the love chapter. And I'd like to preach using that text tonight, if I could, just love. L-O-V-E. Such a simple word. But we have lost some in the translation because this word in the Greek means agape, which means spontaneous and divine love. It's deeper than what we speak about love today. And you've heard me in years past say this, that love is one of the most abused words that there is in the English language. Even kids will overuse it. Even we overuse it. Because they'll talk about how they love French fries and how they love hamburgers or whatever the food is. And even we as adults will say, somebody will mention something, they'll say, "Oh, I love that." When truly, He's not talking about liking. See, we use the word love when we really like. Love is something that is more. In fact, do you remember when Christ asked Peter, He said, "Do you love me?" He said agape. And Peter answered in the Greek word that meant, "I extremely like you." And Christ asked him again, and finally Peter got the message on the third time, and he says, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Love is something that cannot be faked. And He tells us in this word that no matter what you have, you can be an eloquent speaker and even be able to sound like the angels themselves in verse 1. But if you don't have love, it becomes as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. All it is noise. That's it. And He says that all these gifts that you could have, and if you don't have love, What good are they? If I can paraphrase it like that. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different gifts. But if you don't have the true love of God in your heart, then it's just a noise. And people say, well, what is the true love of God that he's talking about here? And as we go through these examples tonight, I hope that every one of us can measure our own selves in our own hearts and see where we stand with God if we have that kind of love. Because, folks, it doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how talented you are or how many gifts that you have. People admire that. But when it comes down to you and me, each other, it takes love to really unite us and put us together in this church the way that God has. And love is what he says here. The first thing that he says about this is that love is patience. And we ought to, a lot of our young married folk and a lot of our middle-aged married folk and some of our older married folk need to hear about this, because love is very patient. The Bible teaches us that it's in no hurry, it suffers long, it bears, it believes, it hopes, and it endures all things. Love is patience. When love is patient, then it allows God to work in the midst of it. Has anybody ever, and this is the example that is up on my mind, so I'll share it with you, that sometimes when you're doing something or you're working on something, or maybe you're just frustrated at somebody, and you walk away for a few minutes and you try to pull yourself together, and then you go back, don't you find that it's a whole lot different when you go back and you face that problem or you face that situation or you face that person? Because you've had a chance to walk away and get yourself together, so to speak. I use this example oftentimes. Even this week on Monday, I was working on my old truck because my universal joints sound like a tinkling brass going down the road. And I was working on it and I got something wrong or I had a difficulty with working on it, and I've stepped away for a minute and I try to be patient. And let me ask this, and then I'll tell the rest of my story. How many of you are more patient today than you was 5 years ago? Oh, Lord help the rest of you. How many of you are more patient than you was 10 years ago? Oh, there's a few more hands goes up. But I find that, and I know people think I'm strange, but when I sat back for a few minutes, I was patient, and then I went back to it. I found out that it was a whole lot easier. And you know what I did? I tried to never fail to do this. When I went back and it was so much easier, I said, "Thank you, Lord." And people say, "Well, that's just an old car, old truck you was working on. How can you thank God for that? Who gave man the knowledge to put it together?" And Paul is telling us that love has to be patient, especially in relationships, because we're different people. We're wired different. Men, we're wired different than the women are. When Becky wants something done, she wants it done now. I can do it tomorrow. But we have to be patient. And sometimes doing it when they want it done, we find that the relationship goes a whole lot better. Amen? But I like when he says it's patient, that we can just wait. And we can bear and we can be strength to each other and we can help each other. One of the words that was in there was that it hopes all things. I don't have that answer to all things, but I have a lot of hope. Because I have a lot of love. And folks, it doesn't matter how much you know and how many things you can do. If you don't have love, people just don't want to be around you. But if you have love, you might not be able to do a whole lot of things, but they'll still love you in spite of yourself. Because you've got the love that God puts there. Bible also teaches us that this love that He wants us to have, it's got kindness in it. It's got kindness that we don't act rash or insolently. We're not inconsistent. We're not puffed up or proud. There's a lot of people that God has blessed with a lot of knowledge and a lot of gifts, but they're all puffed up about what they know, or they're proud about what they know. Everything we have, everything we do, and everything we know, it's because God gave it to us. I have nothing to brag about in what I can do. But I have, like what the writer says in Philippians, the 4th chapter and 13th verse, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. See, I'm not bragging on me, Odd. I'm bragging on Him. And I love Him and He loves me. And when I try to think that I'm all that, then love has gone out the door. He also says that love, this agape love, is generous love. There's no competition. There's no enviousness involved in it, or no jealousy that's involved in it. You know, sometimes I've shared with you here at the church that God gives us a heart, and true love is generous to those that are without. And when we see people that are without, even those that we think that they're just telling us a story, you know what love will cause you to do? It'll cause you to still reach in the pocket and try to help them in any way that you can. Because isn't that what the Lord has done for us time and time and time again? There's never been a time that there wasn't food on the table. Never been a time that there wasn't a roof over our head. I started to say this a few minutes ago in the opening of the service. We ought to be glad that we're in a church that's air conditioned and got fans in it. Don't get puffed up about it, just enjoy it. He says that we ought not be proud. The Lord, one of the seven things that He said that He hated was a proud look. Somebody that walks in and acts like they're all that. Look at me. We're all from dust, and to dust we shall return. I've been working in the yard, and today I was using a hoe, and that ground is just as hard as a rock. And I sharpened it. I took a grinder to it, Cecil, to make it sharp, because I knew it was going to be hard as a rock. And as I'm digging in that dirt, I'm thinking to myself, that's all that I'm made of. That's where I came from, and that's where I shall return. So who am I to get all proud and act like I'm somebody? Love, people don't care, again, who you are, what your title is. What they want to see in us is true love that goes out and shares with them what they're looking for. And He also says that this agape love is one that has humility in it. That there's no parade, there's no air, there's nothing that is boisterous about us. I've been at churches when people just want to tell how much they love. You've heard the old saying, don't tell me how much you love me, show me. Amen. And people much rather see it than to hear about it. And we tell each other oftentimes that we love each other. We probably don't tell each other as much as we should. But I have to say this, there's not a time that we come together that you don't see that love. Because brothers and sisters, you can't fake true love. You either love each other or you don't. It's just that simple. And we grow to love each other as well, do we not? Because some of us ain't always been this lovable. Amen. And some of us are still working on it. Right? Amen. And I'll just put this in. I'll preach from a message here in a minute. But sometimes I look at myself. I'll confess first. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, you just aren't that easy to love. Anybody else want to confess with me to help me out? There's times that I go that I'm quiet. I don't say a word. I mean, Becky will tell you, sometimes I'll ride all the way to church, or I'll ride all the way home or wherever we're going and won't say a word. And sometimes I'm difficult. Anybody else say amen? Amen. Sometimes I'm stubborn. I'll confess. Sometimes I'm hard-headed. And sometimes I'm just downright hard to get along with. In fact, I probably have to go home and apologize to my son when I leave here tonight. Because he is working with me today, and I tried to get him to do it one way, and he was wanting to do it another way. And I said, let's do it this way. And he said, well, if you don't like the way I'm doing it, I'll just go in the house and you do it by yourself. I said, well, I do a lot by myself. It wouldn't be the first time. Now, see, that wasn't right. So I had to go home and apologize to him. But you know, sometimes we're just not that easy to love. We still love them, but the words are harsh. And they'll cut. And he also says that this agape love has courtesy involved in it, that it does not behave unseemingly. It's always polite, at home with all classes. It's never rude or discourteous. That just got us all tonight. Because there's times that I'm discourteous. There's times that I'm rude. And I shared with y'all, it seems like I say that a lot. I shared with y'all so many years ago. Y'all, some of you will remember that I pulled in and I was waiting on a parking spot at Cracker Barrel. And you remember that Mercedes pulled in front of me. I sat there and waited and waited. The car pulled out and the Mercedes pulled in and took my parking spot. The flesh wanted to get out and go knock on the window and say, that's my spot. But see, love will cause you to have to just turn the other cheek. It's hard to do. Thank you, Deacon. But that's what I had to do because, see, in myself, if it was just me, I wouldn't be that concerned about it. But Brother Eli, when people look at us, you never know who it is that you're going to run into. They may not know you, but they know somebody in the church or somebody associated with the church. And that's why we've got to watch and make sure we always show love. And I'll tell this story too. I got a barking dog. Those of you that have been at the house, you know about it. My next door neighbor, he hadn't been there too long, and they had a little baby, and he called me and he says, can you put that dog up? It's barking and it's waking up my baby. Well, there's a law that says they have to bark for over 15 minutes consistently, right? First thing I wanted to do was remind him of that law. But being that I'm associated with the church and I'm associated with God, I said, sure, I will. Lo and behold, years later, many years later, Villa's working for him. Now, what would have happened if I hadn't shown love and went out and got my dog, if I would have reminded him of the law instead of showing love? And Villa was over there cleaning house, and he'd say, you know that neighbor next door? And I've worked with people that if you don't show love on the job, I don't know who you live next door to. I work with this lady and I try to be as courteous there and not be rude or arrogant or high-minded. And I worked with this lady and off and on, and lo and behold, come to find out she lives over in the complex where Barb and Ott live. So you do not know who you're coming in contact with and who they know. And once you are known as a person that doesn't show much love, that word, and they must invite these folks to church, they say, well, Roger's your pastor still? You see the picture? They don't want to go to church where there's no love, especially if it's one of us that's not showing it to them. We ought to be courteous. So sometimes we have to bite our lip or bite your tongue. How many of you want to say what you want to say, but you know better because you lose all your love? Right? Bible also says that this agape love has unselfishness attached to it. It's never selfish, sour, or bitter. And I'm reading this to you. Seeks only good of others, does not retaliate or seek revenge. Verse 5. When I was younger, and Brother Holcomb and some of you others can attest to this for yourselves, somebody would do something to us, first thing that would come to our mind is we're going to get revenge. We're going to retaliate. But what did Jesus say? He says if you're smitten on one side, he says that you ought to turn the other cheek. Now that's hard for us to do because of love. In our spirit we know it, but in the flesh we want to attack. Especially if somebody's done something to one of the kids or grandkids. Let me tell this story. I was with a guy Tuesday night that I used to work with. And he's got two boys and he don't have any grandkids. And he says, Rhonda, his wife, he said, and I've eaten at their home when I was down in North Carolina. And he said, they are hoping and wishing and just waiting for the day that they get grandkids. I looked at him and I said, be careful what you ask for. Amen. I love them to death, but be careful what you ask for. Let me move on. It says that if we have this agape love, that we'll have an even temper. You've seen people, and sometimes even in the church, there's people that I shy away from because they'll go off on you. If things don't go the way they want them to go, they'll attack. And I know some preachers that need to hear this message. I know some deacons that need to hear this message. And I know some lay members that need to hear this message. The Bible teaches us that we cannot just speak our mind anytime we want to. And that we cannot look, be sour or bitter and seek only what's in it for me. And there's too many people that claim to be Christians that don't have these attributes. They're the ones that's given the rest of us a bad reputation with the world. Because I know people that say, I'd go to church, but the only thing they want, those bunch of sour people. Becky and I got a thing in the mail that said, had a picture. And some of you have seen this picture in times past. Anybody ever seen that old picture of a farmer standing there next to his wife, and they both look like they just lost their best friend? We got one of those from a church. And the message said something like this. Are you tired of this type of church? Basically is the way it summed it up. Because you just look at those people and you can't see much love in their eyes. Sometimes you look at people and you can tell if they love you or they just soon get away from you. But it says that we ought to be unselfish. We ought to have a good temper, that we don't get easily irritated or resentful. I like people that are the same every time you see them. We all have a bad day, amen? Isn't there times even in your own life, maybe somebody besides me today had one yourself, that you'd just be better off just about out there by yourself doing something? And that way nobody has to put up with you. Because sometimes we can be hard to put up with. Amen? But I know that every one of us is working on this, that we're trying to put all these traits behind us and trying to work toward this perfect love that the Bible talks about to us. And he also says that This love will have righteousness in it, and that we will hate sin. And I said that a few months ago in a service here. And I know that we teach our kids and grandkids to be careful about using that word. But how many of you just downright hate sin? When we see all that it is doing and the destruction that is attached to it, to your people and mine, it makes me hate it more and more every day. When I see that it is destroying people's lives. And not just their lives, but the whole household is being destroyed. And Satan doesn't care who he hurts. If he can get one to make a move, folks, he'd be happy because he knows that sin is like cancer. It spreads everywhere. And I just downright hate sin. And I guess that's why heaven looks so good to us. Because Bible says that sin can't enter at the door there. We will hate sin. And we ought to never rejoice when somebody else goes wrong. When we see a brother or sister fall, it ought to break our hearts. Even when I see people, there's a guy that I work with. And I don't work that close with him. I see him every once in a while on projects. And the last time I was there, or the next to last time I was over there talking to him, I don't even know why he started this. He said, you know, my whole life has fallen apart. His wife of 20-some years said she didn't want to be with him anymore. They got two children, an 18-year-old and I think a 16-year-old. He says, it's all on me. He says, she left, didn't even want the kids. And my heart was broke, and I don't even know him that well. Some people probably, you know, the world look at it is look at him and start examining his life and start picking him apart and saying, knowing all this stuff about you, she had a right to leave you. Folks, there ain't none of us deserve what God has given to us. And we should never be happy when something wrong in somebody's life. It ought to grip our hearts and just tear us apart, knowing that that's another home, that's another life that the devil has come in and destroyed. I used to work with a guy several years ago, and any time somebody had something good happen to him, he'd say, I hate them. He'd say, I hate them. I say, Terry, why you say something like that? He said, because it didn't come to me. That's the world. That ought not be God's people. God's people ought to rejoice when something good happens to each other. When God blesses our brothers and sisters, we ought to be happy for them. Every time I see a new car in a parking lot, I'm happy that God blessed somebody. Every time I see somebody get or hear about somebody getting a new home, I'm excited for them. And some people look at them and say, I just can't stand it. What I'm excited about is that God bless them. It might be my turn next. How many of you is waiting for the next time God comes around? Amen. Let me move on and close. Bible also says that this agape love is sincere. It's not just words. I hope that when you see me, that you see this love every time that we come together. Anytime we talk on the phone, anytime we have anything at all. And not just when we're together. But when you run into people that I work with or live next door to or people I see out the malls or wherever, I hope they've got a good word to say about us. Because, not because of that I'm the pastor or preacher, but because I'm a born-again child of God. That they'll see that there's something different in our lives. That is sincere. It's not just made up. It's not just a show. Now, there's not everybody that I see that I love. Their ways. Some of y'all was waiting on that. I don't love their ways. In fact, there's people I just don't even want to be around because of the way they do and the way they act. And some of them run because of the things that they use. Drugs and alcohol, profanity. You know, if somebody has such a limited vocabulary that all they can do is cuss, I'd just soon not be around them. And especially if they use the Lord's name in vain. I just don't care to be around them. But that doesn't mean I don't love them, because there's still a soul that needs to be saved by God's grace. And let me put this in while we're confessing. It's not just the world people. There are some people who say that they are born again children of God that I just can't be around long. And somebody said, "Now that's harsh." The Bible says that there are some that are lambs in wolves' clothing that has creeped into the midst of the church. Not everybody who says that they are saved is saved by God's grace. And Jim, I think it tells on them real quick. I'm not being judgmental now. But the Bible says that we can use a word to measure up the fruit. And anytime somebody wants to just talk about I, that's usually the first sign that I need to get away. Right? And when preachers get too big for their britches, it's time for me to get away. Now I'm just, Larry Jones would be jumping up and down to hear something like that. But you've seen it when people think they're all that. That's not love. Love says that we ought to be abased, not exalted. If anybody's going to exalt us, let it be God, not ourselves, and not come in parading ourselves around. As Granny used to say, acting like we're all that. Because all we are is a bunch of sinners that's been saved by God's grace that ought to love God. And the Bible says it like this. God said it to them in the Word, and I'll say it tonight in closing. He says, "How can you say that you love God in whom you have not seen, when you don't love man who you do see?" That's close enough to the Scripture. How can you say that? Knowing how difficult it is for us to love each other because we're all wired so differently. But us as born again children of God, as different as we are, we have one thing in common. We're brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters ought to behave accordingly. Children of God ought to behave accordingly. And if we'll do that, that love will show, not just in church. I got to put this in. You ever see anybody that shows love all over church, and then when you see them out, you wonder if it's the same person? I'm serious. You wonder if it's the same person. Because they're not showing that same kind of love. Whether you see me here or you see me working or whether you see me wherever it might be. And wherever I see you, we ought to have the same kind of love toward each other. There was a time when people was a little backwards about it. But folks, we ought to be proud that God's put us in this family, this great big family. And love our brothers and sisters and show the love of God to the people we live next door to, the people we work with, even those that go down the street and cut you off. Because you see, we don't know who's in that car, whether they're saved or lost. And while Rob and Sharon get a song, because I'm guilty of this as well. How many of you, when you see a car do something like that and cut somebody off, if I see one of those little fish signs on the back of the car, I think, "Oh my goodness, that's not Christian-like." That's not Christian life. You say, well, you want us to be on our best behavior all the time. If you really have the love of God in you, you can defeat that human nature. Paul said he crucified the flesh daily, did he not? Sometimes I have to do it hourly. And some of you are shaking your heads. Some of you, I can tell by the smiles on your face, I'm not the only one. But you know, we know our own limits, Jim. And we know when we have to just walk away in order to maintain the relationship with God and show the love that God wants us to show. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Tonight, I don't want to be a sounding cymbal or a tinkling brass, but I want that love to show to all mankind. To you, to my neighbors, to those I work with, and to those that I come in contact with, wherever it may be. That they see that God has given us something that the world don't have. Come unto me. God will give you that perfect love which casts away all fear. Yes. Only God can do it. Things that we was talking about there in our conversations. You know, I've worked in the workplace for many years. And Wayne, you can almost tell when a conversation is going to go south. And that's when you have to be bold enough just to walk away. Because you see, if you partake in one conversation, the next time when you start to walk away, they'll say, wait a minute, the other day you stood here and you listened to it. Why are you walking away now? You can't be partakers in everything that's going on and still maintain the love of Christ in your heart and be able to show that love. You know, I didn't even talk about tonight. Sometimes love costs you to get some whippings. And today I don't think parents love their kids as much as my parents loved us. Because Sister Violet, if spankings, well, we didn't call them spankings, we called them whippings. If whippings was a parent's way of showing their kids they loved them, mine loved me a lot. Amen. And maybe I just wasn't very lovable and they had to teach me how to be lovable. And I appreciate them for doing it. Otherwise, no telling where I'd end up at. I hope you got something from the Word tonight. And I think there's room for all of us to move up in our show and display of love that God has given to us. And, you know, not just with the world, but in our homes, in our church, everywhere that we